If you have a Bible, please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6 is found on page 920 in that black pew Bible. If you don't have a Bible of your own, you can follow along there, 920, and we'll read there in just a few moments. If you don't have a Bible or know somebody who doesn't have a Bible that needs a copy of God's Word, there are some blue Bibles somewhere around. Those are our gift to you. Please feel free to take one if you need it. Please read God's Word and see what He has for you. Every child in the room, everyone under the age of 18. All right, I'm talking to you now. Everyone under the age of 18. Look around, see if your parents have a bulletin or if there's a bulletin close by. Look around. All right, I want you to look down about right there on the bulletins. Everybody got it? Everybody see it? Here's what it says. Children, honor your parents. That's the title of our sermon today. So guess who I'm talking to mostly today? Not just you, everybody in the room. But there's going to be a lot specifically applied to you this morning. So I want you to do your best to pay attention. Do your best to follow along. And so what might be helpful for some of you, my kids at times have done this. If you have a blank sheet or even maybe in some spaces on the bulletin or just over the words, it doesn't matter. Maybe you draw a picture of something that if I say something, it makes you think of something. You draw a picture, it helps you remember and helps you focus on what we're talking about this morning. Or you can write down some notes, some key words, some things that you find interesting about what we're talking about today. Or maybe I use a word that you don't know and you can ask your parents about it this afternoon after we get done with lunch or even during lunch. Or you can feel free to ask me after the service. I'd be happy to talk to you about it, okay? So everybody under the age of 18. Yeah, you looked at me. Good. Very good. So follow along, all right, because we're going to be talking a lot to you today because this passage is written specifically for you, but also the rest of us adults in the room. There's a lot that God would also have us learn and apply today as well, okay? So this is for everyone, but children especially. I want you to try to focus in today, okay? All right. So the first question is, do you know, children, why obedience matters? Why does obedience matter? Why is it such a big deal? Why do your parents make such a big deal about whether you obey or not? Why can't I just do what I want to do? Why do I have to obey? Why should we obey? Does it actually matter if I obey? Well, God's Word has a lot to say about that, and I hope to help you see that today, okay? I hope to help you understand a little bit better why we teach obedience, why we expect obedience from our children, and why it's a good thing, why it's good for you, right? It's not just good for your parents that you obey. It's good for you, and I hope you see that today, okay? All right, so we're in a series on the family. If you couldn't tell, we've made it to children in our series on the family, all right? Our families should be marked by God's love, and that includes, children, your obedience to your parents, your honoring of your parents. It should be marked by God's love because God loves you, and He's displayed that love for you most clearly in Christ on the cross, that He died for your sin. For all the times that you've disobeyed, all the times that you've done things wrong that are not pleasing to God, Jesus died for that sin. If you place your faith in Him and trust in Him alone, then you can be saved from all of that. And that is good news, right? Because we're not perfect. None of us have been perfect, right? Your parents have not been perfect, in case you haven't noticed yet. If you haven't noticed yet, you will someday notice that your parents are not perfect. But we've been saved by God's grace, right? And we're trying to walk in greater faith and repentance and obedience to Him, our Father in heaven, as His children. And so we want to try to model that for you. But all of it should be marked by God's love for us. The context of our book, the book of Ephesians, so that first three chapters explains who we are in Christ and what He's done for us. It's called theology, right? It helps us understand God and His plan and His ways and His character, who He is. And then we get into this last half of the book where there's a lot of application of this good news of Jesus Christ to families now in this section, right? And so part of the practical application of the gospel, children, is that you would learn to obey and honor your parents. That is an act of faith, an act of believing God and the gospel working itself out in your life. Okay? All right. So if you have found Ephesians chapter 6, please stand with me once more to show honor and reverence for the reading of God's word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. You may be seated. It's a short text for today. There's 3 points that I want to try to make. First point is obey. The first point is obey. So the application is just right there in the point, right? Obey. We're going to talk about obedience and its importance. Point two is going to be honor. We're going to talk about honoring separately. Honor, showing honor. And then third, I want to help you see the promises of God. What does God promise to you, children? Has God promised you anything? And is he trustworthy to fulfill that promise? All right, so point one, from verse one, children, obey your parents in the Lord. What does this word mean? It means to do what they say, right? I mean, it's a fairly simple word. Obey. Your parent gives you an instruction and you obey. You do what they say to do. But why? Why does your mom or dad want you to obey? Is it because it's helpful to them? Is it because it's more convenient when you obey? Maybe sometimes you think your parents just have a, maybe teenagers think your parents are just kind of on a power trip, right? They just want to control my life. Is that why they want you to obey? Now, I will say, parents at times do struggle with wanting to have control, right? Some of us want to have control over everything in our lives, and that includes our children. And so sometimes in our sin and our weakness, we go too far in giving instructions and expecting obedience from our children because it's from bad motives rather than pure. But when your parents, when we are most like God, when we are imitating him most clearly, like chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. When we are imitating him the best, we are trying to get you to obey for your own good. We are trying to get you to obey so that things will go well for you, so that your life would be better than if you continue on in disobedience and dishonoring and going your own way and sinning. We want you to obey for your own good. Right here in this verse, God tells you to obey your parents. And so God has told you to obey your parents. It's not just your parents saying you need to obey. God himself says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So God has told you, children, that you are to obey your parents. So it's not just an issue of whether you're disobeying your parents, but when you disobey your parents, therefore you are disobeying God, which is a problem, right? Because what we've come to understand about God and who he is and that he's displayed his love for us so clearly and displayed his perfections and his power when we look out at creation and we see how powerful, how beautiful, how wonderful he is, that he deserves honor, Romans 1. He deserves to be thanked and honored as God. But we don't do that in our sinful nature, right? And so, obedience is obedience to God. Most of the time, when your parents are giving you instruction, all right? So some of this is going to mean you working on trusting your parents, working on actually thinking and believing, my parents want what's best for me. Because sometimes what our parents do to discipline us or to teach us or to give us chores or those things that help us mature and become, you know, functioning adults. Sometimes those things are things that we don't like. And so we have to wrestle against that feeling that my parents are just trying to make things hard on me. But in reality, my parents are trying to do what's best as they see it. They're trying to do what's best for me. They're trying to help me grow. They're trying to help me mature. They're trying to help get me ready for life. Or they're trying to keep me from going the wrong way and going poorly, right? Going in a way that is foolish or a way that is sinful and destructive. So part of it is, children, we need to try to remember and think, especially in those times where it feels hard, that our parents do love us. They actually love us. And then most of the time they like us too. They like being around us. But they love us, and so they're giving us these instructions for our good. But when we let our minds focus on other things, when we let our minds think otherwise, they're just trying to keep me from having fun. No. They are trying to help you. They are trying to help you grow and mature. And so one of the things that would be very helpful to you is to foster the idea, the thought, that my parents love me, and they're trying their best. They're not perfect, but they're trying for my good, right? And if you can keep that in mind, that will help bring down sometimes those really strong feelings of my parents are out to get me, or my parents are trying to keep me from having fun. Why are they doing this to me? They're not doing it to you. They're doing it for you, okay? Now it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In the Lord, right? So, if this may become more of an issue as you get older and have learned more of God's word, occasionally your parents might ask you to do something or tell you to do something that you're not quite sure if that lines up with God's word or not. If you're not going to obey because you think it doesn't line up with God's word, you need to know that, not just be guessing, right? They are trying to serve you in the Lord. And so the default position is, unless I know, this breaks God's law to do that. To obey my parent would break God's law, so I can't do that. You better know that, right? Otherwise, it's disobedience still. So don't go looking for excuses. But it says right there, in the Lord, right? Your parents in the Lord. It is an act of faith in God to obey your parents. Or in an extreme case, disobey them if they're not walking in the Lord with their instruction. It says, let's look at Colossians 3 real quick. Colossians 3 is going to be our other verse that helps add some clarity to this one. Colossians 3:20. Colossians 3:20, Paul puts it this way, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So this obedience is in the Lord, and it's in everything. That there's not an area that God says, well, you don't have to obey your parents here, right? Just because God doesn't address this issue, it's a silly example, right? Whether you're allowed to chew gum in church. Yes, we have a gum dealer here at the church who passes out gum like it's going out of style. And the kids love it, right? God's word doesn't say anything about gum in church, does it? But if your parent says, don't eat gum in church, then God says obey, right? In everything, whether it makes sense or not. It doesn't contradict God's word. But parents, while we're on that note, be careful not to lay burdens on your children that are beyond God's word, right? Now, if you've got a biblical reason for your children not to chew gum in church, that's fine. But just make sure that they understand that too. We want to teach them the why of obedience. So in everything. All right. Why? He says in chapter 6, verse 1, back there, chapter 6, verse 1, for this is right. It is right for children to obey their parents. Why? Because that's how God designed things to work. That is God's design. It is His original design when He created man and woman to be married, and then He gives them the command to be fruitful and multiply. When they have children, had they not sinned, had they had children, they would have taught their children to obey them and therefore God, because God had given them instruction, they were to obey Him, and they would have taught those commands to their children to teach them to obey, because this is right, because it is the way God designed the world to work. It is living under the structure of authority that God has placed you in. God could have created you, children. He could have placed you in any family on the earth at any time in history. But He put you in this family, in this time, with these parents, with all their gifts and strengths, and with all their weaknesses. And He intends to use that for your good. He intends to use your parents to help you grow, to help you see Jesus more clearly, to help you trust Him with your lives, to help you learn to obey Him. And so, children, you must recognize and realize that God placed you in your mother's womb. He chose your mom, your dad, for you. He's placed you there. And so it is an act of faith and obedience to Him then to submit to that and say, okay, these are my parents. I will honor them. I will obey them because God has put me here. You see? You see how this is an act of faith, not just an act of compliance, right? It's not just something to keep me out of trouble. It's a way to honor the Lord. So we need faith and we need wisdom from above. Wisdom is recognizing who I am, right, in light of who God is and where He's put me, and accepting that, right? Humbly accepting who God is, where He's put me, and what He's doing in my life. This is wisdom. And we want you to be wise. We want you to grow in wisdom. Now, the next question that comes to mind then, based on this, is, and children, maybe you want to think about this answer. You don't have to answer it out loud. I think I know some of your answers. Should parents insist that you obey? Should parents insist on obedience? Now, sometimes we feel like, no, they should not. They should be gracious. They should not insist that I obey. They should give me some room. But biblically, should your parents insist that you obey? Yes. Yes, they should. Because it says right there, this is right. It is right for you to obey. To not insist on your obedience would be to allow you and then therefore us to walk in disobedience, to walk in unfaithfulness to God, to walk in rebellion to God and His ways. One commentator puts it this way, surely it is because God knows how we as parents are so easily torn by our love for our children and our insecurities about ourselves that He graciously speaks so plainly here. To the question that sometimes almost tears our hearts out, should I insist my child obey? God answers, yes, for this is right. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our frame. He knows the tossing and turning of our emotions and how at one moment we'll just feel such compassion for our children. Like, ah, it's okay. It's okay. Just let it go. Don't worry about it. No. If we've given an instruction, we should expect and insist upon obedience. If you're not going to, then don't give the instruction because you are setting them up for disobedience. You're setting them up to walk in sin if you do not insist on their obedience once you have given instruction. So again, this comes back to us making sure that our instructions, those things that we expect our children to obey, are in line with God's word and His standard, and not just how we feel in any given moment, so that we don't become tyrants in our home, ruling by how we feel, but we're expecting obedience based on God's word and the principles found in His word. We need to make sure that we don't require something more or something different than God does. Okay? Now, children, this obedience in everything, in the Lord, is more than just lip service, right? Sometimes when we get instruction, sometimes when our parents tell us to do something, we say, okay, I'll go do it. And what happens? We don't do it. We forget, we get distracted, or it's like we tell them we'll do it just to get them to stop asking us to do it, when really we weren't going to do it anyway. We cannot do lip service. There must be follow-through in this obedience. Jesus gives the example of two sons. A father goes to his son and he says, son, go work in the field. And the first son says, yes, sir, I go. And he doesn't go. The second son, he goes up to him, he says, son, go work in the field. And that son says, no, he refuses. But then a little bit later, he changes his mind and he goes in and works. And Jesus asks, who did the will of his father? The one who said, yes, I'll go, and didn't go? Or the one who said, no, I won't, but then he changed his mind and went? Who did it? The one who actually did it, the one who actually followed through and obeyed, even though at first he said no. And so children, it is important that we not give lip service to our parents, but that we follow through. Jesus, James, elsewhere says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Follow through with obedience. So for children, maybe more so for teenagers at this point in your life, but for parents as well, we swim in a culture that by and large says obedience doesn't really matter. That obedience is not a requirement, right? That even secularly, that you just let your children kind of figure it out and find themselves and make all the mistakes and just it'll work out and it's fine. Don't be harsh. Don't be overbearing. And I'm not saying that you should be overbearing by any stretch. But they think that any rule, any expectation of obedience is overbearing. Is that what God says? No, it is not. But even within the church, some of the parenting styles that have been adopted along the way are contrary to God's word. We've bought into this narrative that somehow obedience doesn't really matter. And what does that train children to do in the future? Well, how many adults do you know, maybe some of us even, that struggle with obedience to God? Who struggle with whether to, like, if I obey, is that legalism? What about the fear of legalism? Do I have to obey? We have a hard time understanding some of these things, partly because we haven't been trained in obedience. So do your children a favor and train them in obedience. Help them to see the value of it. That no, it doesn't save you, but it's right. It's right to obey. And part of why it's right to obey, children, do you ever feel like you can please God? Or does he feel like he's impossible to please? Is God somebody who's just up in the sky and he's got this big perfect standard that I can't live up to, that I can't meet? Is that who God is? Is he just looking for things for you to get in trouble with? Is that how you see God sometimes? Some of us have struggled with that. But again, go back to Colossians 3:20. What does he say? Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Parents, do you see that? Do you see that your children's obedience is pleasing to the Lord? And so this goes back to why would we insist on obedience? Because we want them to learn and love pleasing the Lord. And this is a way that they can actually please the Lord. Again, some of us really struggle with this. Flip back to Ephesians, I'm sorry. Some of us really struggle with this idea of pleasing the Lord with our lives. But he says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Meaning, discern what's pleasing to the Lord and do that, right? Walk in those ways that is pleasing to God. By the power of the Holy Spirit through faith, it is possible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, but with faith, it is possible. Now, our children, the way Scripture talks about children, we have a hard time with. So again, Colossians 3:20, just the plain meaning of the text. Obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. How many of you parents think that it's impossible for your children to please the Lord until they become a Christian? It's not what it says. It says that they can please the Lord by obeying you. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul mentions without much explanation, which many of us wish that he would explain more. That if a spouse, a believing spouse has an unbelieving spouse, they're to stay with that unbelieving spouse if they're willing to, because their children, their household is made holy because they are there. There is something about Christians raising children that makes them holy. Not perfect, not morally right, not legally justified holy, but holy, set apart for God's purposes. Children, if you are growing up with Christian parents or a Christian parent, you have been set apart by God for His glory, for Him to work in your life, that you would hear the gospel. And we should expect that you will respond to the gospel, that you would trust Him when you see how good and gracious and loving He is, by example and by word, hopefully. So in Ephesians 5:10, when he says, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, children, you got a free answer. You got one free answer, right? You don't have to go on searching for any answer. You got one answer right there. It pleases the Lord when you obey your parents. Parents, do we want our children to please God? Then we need to train them to obey. Obey from the heart, yes. It is a heart matter as well. But training, the external obedience is a training of the heart as well. The law is a teacher. It shapes, it forms our values. And obedience can be a sign of faith, a very simple faith, the way Jesus spoke of children, that you must come to Him as a child, that when the children came to Him, He blessed them. And unlike the adults that He healed and delivered from demons, you don't see an example of Him telling children, go and sin no more. I don't know if you've thought of that or not. It's interesting how Scripture really talks about children. See, many of us think so much about the depravity, right? The sinful nature that we are born with. And we forget God's grace. We forget His mercy to our children, that they would even be born in Christian homes, but that they can please God by their simple, childlike faith. Well, God says it, so I'm going to do it, even if I don't like it. That's a sign of faith. That is a sign of trusting God. The more we love and trust God, the better we obey with the right attitude, with the right heart. And that's the same with us as parents, right? And so we want to communicate why. We want to communicate the love and the reasons why we are insisting on obedience. And obedience is the primary way, I would argue, but certainly a big portion of how children are to honor their father and mother. And it is a way to honor God as well. So verse 2, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. What does it mean to honor? What it means to honor is to value. To show honor to your parents is to show that you value them, that you actually appreciate that they're your parent, that you want them even to be your parent, right? That you don't want somebody else to be your parent instead, but that you would honor them, that you would revere them, that you would look up to them and respect them, that you would see something of worth in them that is worth following, that is worth becoming like in some way or many ways. So it is to value. We are all commanded to show honor to one another. Husbands are commanded to honor their wives, to show honor to their wife. Do you value your wife? Do you revere your wife in such a way that it displays the glory of God in your home to your children? Are we teaching our children what honoring actually looks like? So ways to show honor, obedience is the primary way that we talked about, but we talked about this a little bit last week at small group as well, that one of the ways that children can show honor to their parents, and I mean children and even adult children to their adult parents, is to show gratitude, express gratitude. Now for some, that is very difficult. It doesn't feel like there's much to express gratitude for some of our parents. But you can find something. You can find something to show gratitude. And that is a way to honor your parents at any age or stage of life that you are in. and a way to make that shift. Sometimes what's keeping us from showing gratitude is that we've been grumbling. We've been grumbling about our parents instead of being grateful for our parents. And so work really hard not to complain about your parents, but to show them honor. Show them gratitude. Be respectful. Show respect to your parents. Listen to them. You use words that are respectful. Your body language, right? The classic one of rolling your eyes or, you know, looking away when their parents are telling you something, that's not respectful. That's not a way to show honor. So your words and your body language show a lot of respect or not. This is a really important thing, children, as well, to know now. You want to learn this now, and you want to remember it for all of your life, because this is something that's going to come up in different ages and stages of your life. God's word is very clear that he opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so a lot of times when we roll our eyes or we use words that are not respectful to our parents, it's because we're being proud, right? We think too much of ourselves and our opinions and our feelings, and we're expressing that in our words and our actions, but God opposes that. He opposes the proud, meaning he's not going to bless you. He's going to work against you until you are humbled. So he gives grace to the humble. And so we don't want to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. We want to think of ourselves rightly. We want to foster gratitude. That's one of the ways to foster humility. God opposes the proud. Be careful. Be respectful in your words and your body language to your parents. Another way to show humility and value someone is by listening. We talked about this last week as well. That when we listen, for adults as well, children, that when you listen to what your parents are saying, you are communicating, I value you. Not just what you're saying, not just where it might benefit me, but I value you. Especially when they're saying something that's hard, right? That if I take the time, something I'm not going to get back, right? Time. I'm not getting any of that back. The more I listen to someone, the more of my time I am giving to them. And if I'm giving them my attention, then I'm communicating, I value you. This is a way to show honor to the people that we love and to all of each other that we are commanded to do. One of the practical ways to do this at times is let somebody else have the last word. Some of us have a really hard time with that. We like to have the last word in every conversation. But that's just a practical way to practice listening more. And his word says very clearly, children, what does God's word say? Does it say be quick to speak and slow to listen? Is that what it says? No. It says be quick to listen and slow to speak. Why is that? Because it's a way to show value. It's a way to show love. You see, just like all of the commands of God, it demonstrates the nature of love. It demonstrates the nature of God. That Jesus, though he was God, humbled himself and counted others more significant than himself. So if you want to be like Jesus, then you think of others as more significant than yourself. And one of the ways we can do that is by listening. And speaking less. It's also good for us because Proverbs says where there's an abundance of words, sin is not lacking. The more you talk, the more likely it is that you're going to sin with your words. Which is why sometimes your parents try to gently say, stop talking. You're getting yourself in further trouble. You're making this worse for yourself. It is important that we train our children to listen and be slow to speak. It is good for you. There's less foolishness coming out of your mouth, out of our mouth, when we speak less. I got a friend, Brian. He is an active listener. If you have a conversation with him, you are going to feel valued. You're going to feel heard. You know that he's paying attention. I mean, when you're talking, he's sitting there, he's nodding, right? He's looking at you right now, he's nodding. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, I hear that, yeah. Just the whole time. Now, occasionally, he does it so well that somebody's telling him something he doesn't actually agree with, but they leave there thinking that he agrees with them just because he's been doing yeah the whole time, just showing that he's listening, showing that he's hearing what they're saying, right? It'd be really good for us to practice active listening, right? Making eye contact, maybe give an occasional nod, not all the time, not all, be careful not to affirm something that's not true. But to listen, make eye contact, be an active listener. It just communicates such value. God intends for parents to train their children to show honor. It isn't listed anywhere that I can remember as a spiritual gift, showing honor to others. I don't recall that being a spirit. You can correct me after the service if you want. I don't think you can. But I don't think it's a spiritual gift to show honor to others. Some people are better at it because they're more practiced at it. They've been trained better in it. But we are commanded to show honor. And so parents, that means that part of your job is to train your children. You don't wait for God to give them the spiritual gift of showing honor. That's not how it works. You train them to show honor. This is part of what it means to be discipled, to be made a disciple of Christ. Just real quick, ages and stages. Listening is always a way to show honor, whatever age you are, listening to your parents. That doesn't mean as an adult, it doesn't mean necessarily obedience. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they say, but you can listen. You can show that you value them by listening, even to those of us with parents who have all sorts of conspiracy theories going on, whatever it may be, that you're like, oh, I don't want to talk about that again. Okay, but I will listen. I will show honor. I'll show that I value you to talk about what you want to talk about, even though I have no desire to talk about that. That is a way to show honor. Showing gratitude, again, even in hard situations. Another way to show honor in any age or stage is becoming less easily provoked to anger as we mature. Right? So parents, fathers in particular, are commanded, don't provoke your children to anger. That doesn't mean, children, that just because your dad did something that made you mad, that it's okay to act out in any way you want, and God says, free pass. No. God does not give out free passes for disobedience or dishonoring your parents, even when they might have deserved it a little bit. No. Our response, the way we respond to the people around us, is still our responsibility. And as you get older, that responsibility increases, right? I don't expect my 2-year-old to respond well I don't have a 2-year-old anymore. If I had a 2-year-old, I wouldn't expect him to respond well to me provoking him to anger, right? There's very little self-control in a 2-year-old, if any. But a 14-year-old, right? I expect a little bit different of a response when I provoke them to anger. Because I'm not perfect yet. I'm trying not to, but occasionally it's going to happen. But what they have to understand, what our children have to understand, what we have to understand is that our response to the circumstances around us, we are responsible for. God, especially as believers, God has given you the Holy Spirit. He has put the Holy Spirit within you to empower you and give you the spiritual gift of self-control. You do have self-control. Whether you practice it or not, it is a gift of the Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And if the Spirit is within you, that means you have the power to self-control. Exercise it. Practice it. Especially in those situations where it's hard, where you're being provoked to anger. Our response is our responsibility. Don't provoke with hypocrisy. Stop yelling at your children to stop yelling. Don't whine and complain about children who whine and complain. Our response is our responsibility. Another way we can honor our parents is to pray for them. Pray for your parents. Pray for your parents that God would bless them with greater knowledge and experience of His love, greater knowledge and experience of His character, of His grace, His mercy in their lives. Encourage your parents with Scripture. Encourage them by expressing gratitude. Encourage them by saying, oh, I see how God has helped you with this, when they change, when they do something better. Encourage your parents at any age. And then finally, as we have parents who are aging, God's Word does expect us to care for our parents. Paul's instruction to Timothy about widows is that those of their own household should take care of them first. And so we should expect to care well for our parents as they age. Now, how do we do this? Let me try to wrap up with this last point here. How do we obey? How do we honor? We have to trust God. We have to trust His promises to us, which means we need to know them, right? How can we trust something we don't know? How can we trust someone that we do not know? We can't. But in order to walk in faithfulness, in order to walk in greater obedience and honoring of our parents, we need to trust in the precious and very great promises of God. You see, this command to honor your parents is the first command with a promise, it says there, quoting the Old Testament, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. You see, God's promise leads to obedience for those who have faith, for those who really entrust themselves to God. It leads to obedience. Because faith is believing who God is, and it's believing what He said, and then acting accordingly, right? If you tell me, hey, come over after church, I've got $1 million to give you. And I say, oh, wow, thank you. That's incredible. It's really hard to believe, but I believe you. So I'll come next week. Do I actually believe them? No, because I didn't go right after church and get that $1 million, right? Belief, true belief, leads to actions. If we believe God, if we believe His promises, it will lead to certain actions in our lives. It will lead to greater obedience, not perfection and not, again, not legal justification, but a response of faith to the promises of God leads to obedience. Because God is faithful in making these promises. And that's what we see with Abraham, right? We see God make him these promises, and he believed those promises, and so he left his home country to another land. He believed God's promises about his son, and so when God called him to sacrifice his son on the altar as a foreshadowing of what he would do with his own son, Abraham obeyed, trusting that This is the promised one, and so God will provide. Even if He has to raise him from the dead, I believe God, and so I'm going to act. So much so that God had to stop him from actually doing it. And He did provide another sacrifice. And this is what we see in Israel. Israel ends up in Egypt. They're in Egypt in slavery for 400 years. God delivers them first. He makes promises to them, and then He says, this is how you live. When you get to the promised land, this is how you live. This is how you walk. And the question becomes, do we really believe God's promises? Do we really believe that if you honor your father and mother, it will go well with you? And that you will live long in the land? Now, for some of the people who honored their parents, their lives are still cut short here. But they will have a long life in our eternal land. But those exceptions don't mean that, by and large, those who honor their parents have longer lives, because God has promised to do so. And what we see in the public scripture reading from the last couple of weeks, we have this example of Eli. If you've caught it, if you've heard the passages as they've been read, what you see is you see a father who knows that his children are not walking in God's ways. And he makes one attempt that we know of. And it sounds like it's the only one. He makes one attempt. He says, sons, I hear what you're doing and it is not good. Stop it. They continue on. He says nothing else. God had promised him that his house would go on, that his family would serve him as priests. But because he did not walk in obedience to God in training his children to obey, in correcting them and insisting that they obey, their disobedience brought the whole house down. And God holds Eli responsible because he says, you did not restrain them. You did not stop them from walking in these evil ways. Did you catch that? Eli didn't think obedience mattered. Obedience and the promises go hand in hand. When we've been brought into this new covenant, where God has promised to give new hearts to those who believe and trust in Him, and we've brought into that new covenant, that new promise that we are His, we will be His forever, it doesn't mean that obedience doesn't matter. You see, many of us have gotten a few verses askew in our minds to think that obedience doesn't really matter. It's not that big a deal when I don't obey, but it is. It is a big deal, and it has big consequences for you and your household. Whether you're the adult or the child, your sin affects the people around you. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Do we believe that promise of God, that what you sow, you will reap? If you sow to the flesh, you will reap sin and death, destruction. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap from the Spirit life and peace. Do we really believe the promises of God? Children, the promise is that no matter how bad you may feel like you've been, no matter how many times you've disobeyed your parents, God will forgive you if you repent. And what repentance means is not just saying I'm sorry. It's not just asking God to forgive me. But it's turning from that way, from that path of life in pursuing Him. Not that we're going to be perfect. Not that we won't still occasionally, sometimes more than others, fail and give in to temptation. But it's not enough to simply pray a prayer asking God to forgive you and then continuing on in the same pattern of life. That is not the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel saves you from your sin and sets you on a new path toward becoming like Christ, who is perfect, who is the most glorious being, the most glorious man who has ever lived. We want to be like Him, because that's who we've been created to be like. God, in creating us in His image, intends us to be like His Son. And we need His Spirit to help us do that. And the only way to do that is to turn to Him, trusting in Him. Which when I turn to Him, that means turning away from my sin and my disobedience. That's the call today, whatever age you are. It's to respond to God in repentance and faith. We have all failed to honor our parents perfectly. We have all failed to obey perfectly. And we have certainly all failed to honor and obey our Father in heaven, whom we have been called to imitate as beloved children. May God help us trust in Him and turn to Him and have homes that reflect the truth and the power of the gospel to transform lives. And may He grant us children and parents that trust and obey the love of the Father in such a way that their homes and their neighborhoods and our church is blessed by seeing it. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we come confessing our sin, confessing our great need of a Savior. Confessing again that we have failed to honor You and obey You as we should. And yet, God, in Your grace and Your mercy to us, You have poured out grace upon grace. You have displayed Your kindness to us. You have shown us the love of our Savior. Father, You are good. We ask for Your help to honor You. We ask for Your help to honor our parents as an act of faith in You. We ask that You'd be glorified in our church. We ask, God, that You would help us to navigate, help us to understand rightly the joy of our salvation and the reverence and awe that You deserve. We ask that You would help us to navigate the love and friendship that we have with our children as they grow while also respecting the authority that you have given us as parents, and respecting the authority you've given our parents. Father, we ask that you would give us wisdom to navigate these relationships in a way that honor and glorify Christ, that reflect His character and His work in our lives. And Father, we pray that you do this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.